Good morning. Is this on? I want to ask you, who has been at this church since 2015 and onward? So if you are new, who's been here, coming here after 2015? There's a handful of you. I want to just take you back to a little history of SJCAC. This church was founded in 1975. And in 2015, there was a change of leadership. As the founding pastor, Pastor Abraham Poon, was retiring, the mantle of leadership was handed to Ted. And during this season of transition, Ted and the elder board spent some significant time asking the Lord, what is your vision and mission for SJCAC in this next journey ahead? And for those who were at that one vision summit, it was drilled in our head what was the mission of SJCAC. So before the PowerPoint comes up, who can all recite the mission of our church? Bringing people to wholeness and fruitfulness. Excellent. Bringing people to wholeness and fruitfulness. This is still the mission of our church, and this is the heart of Christ for all of us. What is wholeness? Why were these two words chosen as a mission of the church? If we can summarize what wholeness is, it's really God's shalom. You know, if you go to the Holy Land, everyone greets one another saying shalom, peace be to you. And for us, when we think of shalom, we just think it's the absence of conflict or absence of war. But in the original language, it's more than just absence of something chaotic. It's defined as peace, harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, welfare, and tranquility. That's a loaded word, shalom. And when we say we want to bring people to wholeness, it's we want to bring people to a shalom state of well-being, of completeness, of wholeness that can only be found in Christ. The world cannot offer such an eternal peace that only Jesus can offer. We must acknowledge that all of us are broken and we need this shalom, peace, wholeness in our lives. And the second part is the fruitfulness. Our well-being, our wholeness, our completeness, our shalom is not just for us. We need to pass it on to someone else. You know, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. That's fruitfulness. But the other part of fruitfulness is we need to bear spiritual children. Even you teens who are just 12, you need to bear spiritual children. What does that mean? Our wholeness is supposed to be shared and discipled and imparted to those around us. And when we get to share the greatest joy of Christ to others and see them coming to a saving relationship with Jesus, that's spiritual fruitfulness. And no matter how old or young you are, we are all called to be spiritually fruitful. Now, fast forward to 2020, a global pandemic hits the entire world. And God gave Ted a very clear prophetic word and challenge. And this was the word, the church must get ready. The church must get ready for two other pandemics that are going to follow the global pandemic of the coronavirus. The first is the pandemic of poverty, and the second is the pandemic of mental health. As the pandemic of poverty has hit our nation especially, we see the gap between the wealthy and the poor. We see it all around us. For many of us, I didn't have to click anything or submit an application. That stimulus check, or I should say many stimulus checks, were directly deposited into our bank account. For those, let's say, in the Healing Grove community, just 10 minutes down the street from our church, many undocumented immigrants who are in the service sector workforce in our nation, they pay taxes, but they have not and will never get a stimulus check in their bank. And we've seen the gap between the wealthy and the poor just increase dramatically. And I'm so thankful that our church had a very significant part in really blessing the Washington Guadalupe community that the Healing Grove is ministering to. The second one is the pandemic of mental health. As we were all locked up in home, whether it was ourselves or whether it was our loved ones, we've seen the decline of our emotional and mental health all around us. And coming out of this COVID season, we just see a deeper longing in every single person for just a sense of belonging, a friendship, community, and just being able to relate to one another. We need one another, and that longing for community is greater than ever before. As we think about the times we're living in, and during this Christmas season, Emmanuel, we sang about it, we did communion, remembering Emmanuel. This is a brief message I have for you today, the gift of Emmanuel. Let's all read Matthew 1, 23. You can stay seated. The word Emmanuel shows up as we read about the birth of Jesus. Let's read this all together. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. If you look back in the Old Testament in Isaiah 7, 14, there was this specific, the same word. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. God spoke through Isaiah to King Ahaz at that time because the country, nation of Israel, God's people were under attack by their enemy. And God spoke to King Ahaz saying that there is going to be a sign of victory, and this is going to be the sign, that there would be a virgin giving birth to a son who shall be called Emmanuel. And that sign was really to say that God always wins and the enemy always loses. It meant that despite all that you are going through, God is going to claim victory. Now, fast forward 700 years. This is the account of the birth of Jesus, and Matthew uses the exact verse that we have seen in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Many theologians, you know, debate about, is this the prophecy of the Old Testament? Is it pointing to Jesus, or did it already happen? I can't get into all that because it's too big for me, too lofty ideas for me. But the main point is this, the ultimate fulfillment of this verse found in the Old Testament is found through the birth of Jesus. He is the ultimate sign of victory and the victory that God claims for his children. And this is a prophetic word and sign for all of us, that the virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, Jesus, and his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. If I were to break down Emmanuel, God with us, God. In John chapter 1, 14, let's read this together. I think it's on the slide. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Son of God came in the form of a human being and dwelt among us. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one, Jesus himself, who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet he did not sin. And Jesus fulfills a prophecy in Isaiah 53 that says, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. This God came in the form of flesh. And his name is Emmanuel, the God with us. If you look at that middle word, with, it's all about God's presence with us. I'm just going to throw out a few Bible verses for you to realize that God's presence is promised to his children. Psalm 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Isaiah 41, verse 10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Isaiah 43, 2 says, when you pass through the waters, it's not if you pass through the waters, it's when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And we fast forward, Matthew 28, when Jesus was leaving the earth to return back to God, he promised this to his disciples, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." God with us. Emmanuel doesn't mean God with me. It's not a singular, or it's not God with you, but it's significant that Emmanuel means that God with us. It's a plural word. It's about community. It's about family. It's about the family of Jesus followers experiencing this Emmanuel God together. God in the flesh, God's presence, God's community, all wrapped up in this amazing name of Jesus, Emmanuel. You'll realize that every single human being has this deep void of God and a deep longing to belong in a relationship. Jesus is the answer for that deep void, a longing for God, and the community of believers fills that deep longing to belong. Whatever we've gone through, whatever we're going through, we have this gift and promise of Emmanuel, God with us. There's just two invitations I want to highlight as we think about Emmanuel. God is inviting us to receive this gift of Jesus, Emmanuel, in our lives. Let's invite him into our lives, the moment by moment, our entire life journey, that we would invite Jesus to come and take that place of God, to fill that void in our hearts. He promises us his peace. He promises us his hope, his healing. Whether in your work or at your school, in your neighborhood, wherever you find yourselves, God is saying, invite me, invite the Emmanuel God in your life. This week, really short testimony. I started to pray, "Come, Emmanuel, I need to know that you are with me." I had this emergency dental crisis in my life. I went and had to get a root canal, okay, treatment. I don't know how many of you guys had a root canal treatment. I never feared going to the dentist because I didn't have many dental problems, but this time I was under in the dental, you know, chair, and my body started panicking. I've never felt such anxiety and panic, and she didn't even like give me the anesthesia yet. And as I was preparing for this message about Emmanuel, I just, in my desperation with your mouth wide open, I'm like, "Come, Emmanuel, I need to know that you are with me." And I just started taking deep breaths and I just said, "God, come, Emmanuel, come, Emmanuel." And as I was praying that simple prayer, "Come, Emmanuel, help me to know that you're with me." And I started singing worship songs in my head and just the presence of God took over my body as I was getting my root canal treatment. It's real. The panic was real, but God's shalom peace was even greater. You know, invite God, invite this Emmanuel God into our lives. Whatever struggle you are going through, it's just a simple prayer. "Come, Emmanuel, come, God with us. Help me to know that you are with me." The second invitation is this. We are to invite others to experience Emmanuel together. Whatever we may be going through, invite others to come into your life to experience Emmanuel with you. If you are going through a hard time in your life, or if you're going through a great time, invite others into your life and say, "Let's experience this God with us together. You and me, we are the us and the Emmanuel God with us." Offer the gift of Emmanuel to others. Offer the gift of God with us to others. There are so many, even in this room, who are struggling alone. Nobody may know what you're going through. It just takes one little risky question that says, "Hey, can I have lunch with you? Can I have coffee with you? Can we do a Zoom call together? There's just someone I need to know what I'm going through, who will walk with me in this journey, who will pray with me, and who will support me." You know, you are not called to walk this life journey yourself. You are not called to suffer alone. You may not know people here very well, but we're called to be in community in this season together. And I hope that you would open your heart and say, "Can you come with me to experience this Emmanuel together? Can you and I be the us together to experience this gift of Emmanuel?" Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter what kind of skills you have. If we have experienced this gift of Emmanuel, we can give it to another person. Practical things, what does this look like? It's offering our time. Time is precious. But if we offer even a 30-minute time, an hour time, that gift of time can really allow someone to experience Emmanuel with you. Offer our listening ears. You don't have to have answers. You shouldn't have answers. We're just there to listen and offer a safe place for people to share about their life. Ask questions. When we do life together, we're not trying to have this Messiah complex saying, I have all the answers for you, but there's power in asking questions of the soul. And lastly, we get to trust God together, that we can do family together, we can do community together. At this time, there's four Stephen ministers that I have invited to come up on this panel with me. And as they come up, I just want to highlight this new ministry we are launching called Stephen Ministry. And this is really a response that the church has taken to prepare for this poverty pandemic of mental health that we have been invited by the Lord. And this ministry is a tangible way that the church and many of the Stephen ministers who are being commissioned today can offer this gift of Emmanuel to others. So at the beginning of 2022, there were five leaders. Ken is one of them, I'm one of them, and we have three others from the Cantonese and Mandarin congregations. We spent actually 25 hours in training to become a Stephen leader. And then we recruited 28 brothers and sisters across all of our congregations and our two church plants to go through 50 hours of training over the course of 6 months to become a Stephen minister. So there's a graph on the PowerPoint. It's called the Spectrum of Care. So this is kind of, this will give you a little glimpse of where Stephen Ministries fits into church life. So if you look on the far left, you'll see family and friends. They provide informal care for each of us. And then to the right, there's small groups. We have many small group leaders at the church who really care for us, who walked with many of us. They provide general support. And skip that big middle section, we have the pastors who are a little more specialized in providing care and support. And then there's the mental health professionals, those who are trained to deal with the emotional and psychological care that people need. But there's this big section in the middle that maybe a small group leader may not know how to care for. And then the pastors might be not always available to care for people in need. And this is where the Stephen ministry comes in. So I'm going to take a seat. I'm going to ask Pastor Douglas to come and remove this podium so we can be in full view. So let me get you a microphone. We're going to share. Oh, you guys have one. So if you go to the next slide, it says, what is Stephen ministry? So I'm just going to read it. It's a system of organizing, equipping, and supervising a team of congregation members to provide emotional and spiritual care to people experiencing life difficulties in a congregation and the community. AV team, I am so sorry. I sent you an updated email with a new PowerPoint. So if you can somehow grab that, I would appreciate it. As they do that, I'm just going to go straight into the panel as they prepare that. So these are four of the Stephen ministers that have been trained. And the first question I have for you is, what does Stephen ministry mean to you? So Nate, you want to start?
Sure. So I think to me, Stephen ministry is really, it's about loving each other in practical ways. You know, like we talk about how, you know, God loves us and so we should love others. And it's easy to feel like, well, I know I ought to do that, but what does that mean in practice? And, you know, as I've gone through the training, I feel like I've developed a lot more additional, you know, skills for how to relate to people in ways that are genuinely loving, you know, that turn that, the the intellectual and, you know, the desire to love someone into actual practical, tangible love. And yeah, just being able to love the community like that.
Awesome, awesome. Maria, what does Stephen Ministry mean to you?
Stephen Ministry is really the gift of presence, right? To be with people, and just like what Sandy talked about, like God is our Emmanuel, but I feel like we are, when we have challenges in our life, we can talk to God, but sometimes it's just so nice to be able to talk to someone. And so to be able to offer that presence, to be a listening ear, to hear and share and walk alongside people in their life journey.
Awesome. AV team, do you have the new PowerPoint ready? No. Okay. There's a slide that talks about if you are experiencing any of these difficulties. Whenever that's ready, you can just put it up and then I'll cover that. Okay. Sorry, things are a little windy today, but the content will all land on all of us today. So if you look at this list, these are the areas that our Stephen ministers have been trained in. It's an exhaustive list, and I have to say that the training that we've all gone through has been so, so effective in preparing us to walk with someone who have or is experiencing any of these categories of difficulties. So I'm going to move on with the panel. So each of you did not sign up to be a Stephen minister. We actually handpicked all of you and invited you into this journey. And so I know each of you had to overcome some obstacles of the self to say yes to becoming a Stephen minister. So what did that look like? What was the greatest obstacle for you? So I'm going to start with Peter.
So my first reaction was, why me? when I look out in this congregation, I feel like there's so many other people that is more qualified or better than what I can do. It's really just listening to God and saying yes to Him. That was what I had to overcome, is just overcoming my inadequacy and just trusting that God has a greater plan.
And then Peter, can you just share how during the training it was more focused on the process?
Yeah, so the other relief that I was able to experience, that I'm not there to provide a solution. I'm just there to help and to walk along with somebody else. And it's the process of caring, and it's not like me giving a solution or solving somebody's problem, but just being there, walking alongside, caring for that person.
Awesome, awesome. Judy.
Emmanuel, come. 'Cause public speaking is not my thing. Along with Peter's hesitations, you know, one of my hesitations is, I'm going to screw up people more than I help them. sometime around the beginning of our training, it was when the Lord speaks to me, it's often with visions or images or words. And sometime at the beginning of our training, it wasn't related to Stephen Ministry training, but it was a general vision. And the Lord gave me this vision. And it was of His banqueting table. It was just long, so long that I couldn't see either end of it. And it was just filled with a lavish, lavish feast of foods. And here I was sitting at the table, very meekly, very shy. And I had a plate of food. It was a small plate, you know, like a bread plate or something. And it had just a few pieces of food on it. And so here I am looking at this feast, and I say, Lord, is it okay if I can have a little bit more food? And the Lord kind of looks at me in this exasperating, you know, annoyed look. It's like, eat! I have prepared all of this food for you. This feast is for you. I've already prepared it for you. You don't need to ask. You don't need to stand on ceremony for all that I have already given to you. So applying this to Stephen ministry, looking at all of my inadequacies, I'm looking at this tiny plate of little food, and the Lord is saying, I've already empowered you. You are my child. You have every right to be at that table. You have every right to take as much food as you want. And so entering into Stephen ministry, I have nothing, but I do have access to all that God has prepared for us.
So you may be wondering, what did you do during those long 50 hours of training? We had lots of good food. We had lots of fun. But I have to say, we learned some very practical skills of active listening, of being assertive, how to have healthy boundaries in relationships, the gift of empathy, gift of confidentiality, grace-based acceptance. A lot of it seems very psychology-based, but it is. A lot of it is just understanding the human need, but also to understand that it's this process where we invite the Holy Spirit to bring healing to people. So, yes, the food is for all of us. The next question I have is, how do you see Stephen ministry as part of the church? So, Peter, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I see this as a community that's a benefit that we all can take away from. Just like when you sign up for medical insurance at work, you get all these benefits. So as a community of SJCAC, one benefit is that you can have a Stephen minister walk along with you when you have difficulties.
He's selling SJCAC insurance for us. That's awesome. So as much as Stephen ministry is part of our church, it's also an effective tool for evangelism. And so, Maria, can you kind of speak into that?
Yeah, so I see it as an opportunity to outreach for those who are hurting outside the church and a way to connect with our church, but not necessarily straight like, oh, come to our service, come to our church, but it's a way to really minister and walk alongside people who are hurting. Like one of the most common sayings that we go through each time at Stephen Ministries is that we're the caregivers for the care receivers, but ultimately God is the cure giver. And so through our ministering and listening, that we are sharing God's presence, but also guiding them towards God's presence and towards God in general.
So I want to read a brief testimony. One of our sisters at the New Vine Church was a recipient of Stephen ministry over 10 years ago. And we discovered this in this journey. She wants to be kept anonymous, but she is very willing to share her story. So I'm going to read parts of it. So she said, in 2009, my husband was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor. We were told he had about a year and a few months to live. This was devastating news. He started treatment, both chemo and radiation. Gradually, he lost his ability to express himself verbally, although he was able to think fairly clearly. At this point in time, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. It was determined that my treatment would be lumpectomy. I had surgery and came home the same day. It was at this time that an acquaintance told me about Stephen Ministries. I called them. It was part of a large local church, which I did not attend. Long story short, I was sent a Stephen minister, and my husband received a Stephen minister as well. We started meeting weekly, each with our own minister. When my husband could not take part verbally, they agreed to meet together, all four of us. Initially, we just talked about the difficulties of my husband's illness and our situation. As weeks passed, my husband was unable to participate and became bedridden. At this point, we started some hospice care and brought in a hospital bed and set it up in the downstairs den area. I hired a part-time caregiver to give me some relief in his care. My Stephen minister continued to meet with me weekly and gave me great comfort and courage. When my husband passed on, she continued to give me guidance and comfort. Initially, we did not bring scripture into our visits, but we always ended our meetings with prayer. As time passed, scripture became an important part of our visits. She suggested that Bible study fellowship might be a good way to learn more about the Bible and the Christian faith. The sister was raised in an Episcopalian church, but just in name only was she a Christian. And she wrote, I took her suggestion and began attending BSF, and I studied BSF for 10 years. And then a classmate and friend discovered I was not attending church and suggested I come to New Life, New Vine Community Church. And after three Sundays, I knew this was going to be my church community. And after 6 years, she is an active part of New Vine. This is how God can use a Stephen minister to even reach those who have been walking far away from him in the most difficult season of life crisis. As we wrap up our panel, just going to ask a few of our Stephen ministers to give a word of encouragement you want to offer to the church. I'm going to start with Nate and then go to Judy, and then we'll have Pastor Ted come up and commission us.
So I think we live in a time and place where we really value self-sufficiency. You know, I can handle this all on my own. But that's not how God made us. You know, God made us to live in community, and we kind of throw that phrase around, but you know, this is a way of doing that practically, right? You know, our goal is to, you know, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn, and to, you know, whatever, you know, particularly if people are going through hard times, come alongside them and just walk with them. You know, we be a listening ear, just meet people where they are and be the love of Christ in their life.
So we've heard about the pandemic of poverty and pandemic of mental health. Pastor Ted has also referred to us, seeing us as a spiritual hospital to our communities. But I think that some of us are carrying such deep wounds that we cannot be an effective hospital to our communities. So I want to share an example from my own life. For a period of about 5 years, I was struggling with deep unforgiveness. I cycled through rage over a situation, rage, and then repentance, and then you know, forgiveness. But it was just this ongoing cycle that I couldn't get out of. So outwardly, I looked like I was an okay functioning member of this church, but inwardly I was just very broken, and I was basically walking wounded. And actually, that's the word that the Lord gave me this morning during worship, is walking wounded. You know, if you've been in this church for a while, it's easy to put on a false front. So, one of the examples that's given during our training is a mud hole, and it's sticky, and the sides are slick such that you can't gain any traction. And that's what I was experiencing when I was going through this ongoing cycle of unforgiveness. And I couldn't get out. The more I tried, the messier it gets. And I eventually just learned to bury the feelings and just pretend that it was okay. But as I said, it was not okay. And I realized that through this Stephen ministry training that I could have benefited from a Stephen minister. Actually, during our training, we all said, hey, I want a Stephen minister too. Because just so many things that come up in our lives, they hold us back. And it would have been beneficial for me to have somebody to talk things out with, to hear what I'm saying without judgment, and not necessarily, you know, it was an unsolvable situation. I wasn't looking for a solution. And that's one of the things that is taught to the Stephen ministers. We're not here to provide solutions. We're just here to listen and to walk in the journey with you, to support you. So anyway, I think that when we ourselves experience the wholeness and the fruitfulness and the restoration to God, no matter how long you've been at this church, only when we become whole and fruitful ourselves and experience God's restoration can we become that effective church that God longs us to be.
Wonderful. As the rest of the Stephen ministers come up for commissioning and as Ted comes up, I just want to encourage all of us. This is a Stephen ministry commissioning service, but all of us have a gift of Emmanuel, and we can offer that gift of God with us to those around us. And for those who may need to receive care from a Stephen minister, the process of getting that is come and talk to one of the pastors, come and talk to me or Ken. Ken and I are basically the referral people that we will assess if Stephen ministry care is the best fit for you, and we will help you get connected to some of our Stephen ministers. And so I know there's a Shantu and Wesley and Lindsay. Am I missing anyone else? Young and Van. So across all of our congregations and language groups, we have 28 trained Stephen ministers who can provide care in English, Cantonese, Mandarin, Vietnamese, and the next round we'll get the Spanish in there, Arabic, all languages. But these are the Stephen ministers from our English congregation who are here to serve you. Ken, can you come up as well?
We're going to pray for them and commission them, but before we do that, I wanted to make sure that everybody gets to see their face and who they are. Some of you are wondering, why were they chosen and not me? I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question. Many of us, as you heard, that, you know, oftentimes we feel like, I don't have what it takes and I'm not qualified. And that's how God chooses his people. Oftentimes we think that we have to qualify first and then God chooses us. That's not how it works in the kingdom of God. He calls us and then he qualifies us. He calls us and he empowers us. And that's really the story of every one of us. This morning, as we commission these folks, I want all of us to really commit to making this really our team ministry, our church ministry. We have all these trained people, 28 of them all around in our different congregations, but if we do not bring those people, or if we do not reach out to those people that are hurting outside of our church family, they're just going to be sitting there waiting. So this is really a team ministry, and we're committing together to walk with people that are hurting, that are lonely, that are isolated. So we're going to commission them today, and just take one last look, and then I'm going to actually send them out into the sanctuary, and I'm going to have them spread out, and if you can just stand up and gather around at least one of them, and let's just lay hands, because I believe that this is how God really imparts the spiritual anointing and gifting. So let's go ahead and spread out throughout the sanctuary, and then if you can, if you're a couple, you can stay together, or actually you can split up if there's room. Go and find the corner, find the space, and everybody, let's get up and let's gather around these brothers and sisters, and we're going to all pray together that God is now going to qualify them, empower them, and release them and commission them to bring the gift of Emmanuel into our community, into our church, into our neighborhood. So unless you have some health risk, let's go ahead and lay hands. I think these folks are pretty healthy right now. Let's go ahead and lay hands. And we're all going to cry out together for a minute or so for God's authentication, his empowerment upon these brothers and sisters and our closest, and we'll end our time, okay? Let's all open our mouth and bless them, ask God's presence to come upon them. Let's pray. What a beautiful picture you have given us this morning, that you have prepared a banqueting table. And this table is full of food, not just for us to enjoy and consume, Lord, but your heart is that we will take this food into the street, into our neighborhood, into our city, to give away. Father, I thank you that you've called us for this purpose and you invited us to be the hospital for this season, for this world that is hurting, that is in pain. And Father, we also take this truth that ultimately you're the cure giver, but you're simply asking us to be the vessel, your convoy of healing. So Father, as we lay our hands on our brothers and sisters, we commit to making this really a priority in our walk with you, that wherever we go, that we will bring your presence, we will release the gift of your fullness of life, Lord, into those people that you bring into our lives, Lord. Father, I pray for just the filling of your Holy Spirit upon each of these Stephen ministers, that as they walk with them, as they continue to minister to those people that are broken and hurting and lonely, that the fullness of your life and the gift will be released through their ministry, Lord. Father, I pray that this will also be the story of our lives and our church, Lord. And I pray that each of us will be the vessel of your presence, your gift of Emmanuel to this world in this season, Lord. We thank you for laying this high calling upon our lives, upon our church, and thank you for entrusting us with this gift, Lord. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Let's give a big hand to these folks, and that will end our time, and we're gonna head out to the deck.